You're listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Meet Us in Buellton. We're so excited for today's guest and the unique knowledge she'll be sharing with us.
Today's guest is Veronica Medina, owner of Community Clayworks on Industrial Way. She'll be talking all about her artistic journey and what led her to where she is now.
So Veronica, thank you so much for joining us today. We're excited to hear your story. And before we get into all of it, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about yourself and what got you interested in ceramics.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I have always liked making things, and ceramics is just something that I was always drawn to. I can remember, you know, being at Epcot Center with my family as a little kid and watching porcelain on a potter's wheel and being absolutely mesmerized. And I felt like I used to dream about it as a child. And then not until I was in high school did I actually have access to it. I was, it was an upperclassman elective, so I had to wait until I was a junior. So I took it my junior and senior year in high school. And it was something I loved enough that I wanted to pursue outside of school. So I started taking classes at a local studio, Wharton Dyke Station Studio. That was an old train station that was converted. And it was just so much fun. So the trains didn't stop there anymore, but they would still rumble by every once in a while and it would shake. So everyone would just put their hands up in the air as the train was passing. And you just like wait for it to pass. And then you're like, oh, okay, I can touch my clay again. And then there was a little caboose that was a gallery. And somehow I was just more and more enchanted in it. And I, you know, sometimes when you love something enough, you get good at it because you keep practicing. I joke that sometimes I feel like I peaked at my ceramic ability at 18. So then when I got to college, I decided I wanted to get back to taking a ceramics class. In my sophomore year, when I tried to enroll for a class in ceramics at NYU, and I had had some experience, the head of the ceramics department actually decided that it would make more sense for me to be in a graduate level class. And suddenly that shift had me thinking about clay differently than I had been in the past. Up until that point, I really was interested in more functional ceramics. Then all of a sudden it was this heady space of the intellectual side of art and how sculpture exists and how you communicate three-dimensionally. So I really, you know, transitioned in my thinking with it. And though I didn't do a whole lot more in undergrad, you know, for me, that was the real sort of push me forward. And
your aha moment. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very and cool. I love the story about the trains going by and lifting your arms in the air. Like, wait,
I want to go there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. In a little small town, we don't necessarily have that experience. So I think that's a fun thing to share. So you were a member, an artist, and a teacher at the Clay Art Center in Prochester, New York. And you also taught 6th to 12th grade ceramics for 9 years at Trevor Day School in Upper West Side, Manhattan, and 3 years at our Dunn School in Los Olivos here in California. So sounds like you've taught for a really long time. What inspired you to move away from that and then start Community Clayworks?
It's funny, in many ways, I feel like I'm doing the opposite of moving away from teaching. Mm. My vision at its core is really about providing a space that is for creative growth. So Community Clayworks is essentially an educational facility. So if anything, I feel like I'm doing more education and more teaching.
That's incredible. So can for our listeners who don't already know, can you explain a little bit about what Community Clayworks is?
So it is a ceramic studio that offers lessons for all ages and all abilities. We have beginners classes, and all the other classes beyond beginners really are a mix of abilities, because I really enjoy the cross-pollination of skills and ideas that happens in that mix. You know, my mission in a lot of ways is fostering a love of ceramic arts and having an inclusive clay community in the valley. So I want people to have access to it and share in that love. One of the things that I've started to implement is a scholarship for the kids in the tween wheel class, so I can have one kid in each class be able to attend that wouldn't otherwise be able to afford it. So I really believe in what I'm doing. So I'm hoping that that comes through.
And what's really amazing is when you had to wait until you were a junior in high school to get to experience your first classes, like you were introducing children at a younger age to this concept and making it available. I really love that, so that they don't have to wait until it's available in another format.
Yeah. It's fun to see what's happening. Yeah.
Veronica, you know, you mentioned, I know you do classes and I've been over to your studio and you offer a variety of ways to experience community clay work. So tell us a little bit more maybe about your 6-week course and then what someone would maybe learn and do if they signed up for that course.
So if you were in a 6-week course, I'll just maybe focus on a beginner's class, right? You would learn all of the skills necessary to actually be able to throw a pot successfully on the wheel. You will learn every step in that process. And you'll learn all the associated terms and stages of clay. It's one of those things that in many ways is intuitive, but there are just so many moving pieces and things to learn that, you learn them a little bit at a time. So you would learn how to make something and then the clay dries. And then the next stage, you would learn how to trim. So that is at the leather hard stage, meaning that everything is firm enough that you might be able to like stick a nail in it and make a little indent, but it's not mushy anymore. And it's also not so dry that you can't carve it. And that's where we would learn how to carve the bottoms. And it kind of looks like you're carving, little ribbons of chocolate off the bottom of your pot, which is really fun.
Oh, wow.
And that's my favorite part of the process. I find it very meditative. And there are two firings whenever you have ceramics. So the first firing is a bisque firing that happens after you're done trimming and finishing off your pot. Then the clay comes out of the kiln and it's ready to be glazed again. Once it's glazed again, it goes in for the final firing, which is the glaze firing. And then you have your final product. So the 6 weeks takes you through that whole entire process. Hmm. If you were in any class other than the beginner's class, there's a lot more variability and it really depends on the interest of the people in the class. So for a workshop, I might have a set syllabus. And a lot of these classes, it's really based on what my students are interested in. So I will also do little mini demos based on people's interests. So if people are like, hey, I really want to learn how to do a goblet, I would say, so-and-so wants to learn how to make a goblet. So I'm going to do a demo if anyone's interested in watching. So people that aren't really interested don't feel like they have to commit to doing that, but maybe half the class is excited to learn how to make a demo and to watch the demo. They'll spend 15 minutes or so learning how to make a goblet. And then, some people choose to do it, some people don't.
That's awesome. What a great environment to learn in.
I want to go back to the trimming part of that when you talked about that. So the clay has to be in a certain kind of not too mushy, not too hard stage, but is there a way to keep it there so you can work on it? Or does it, you just got to work quickly because it's hardening as you're working? Or how does that work? That's interesting to me.
Well, the clay doesn't dry that quickly unless it's, sitting out in the sun.
Okay.
So you would make a pot, and maintaining moisture level is really important. So you have to dry it out so that it's not mushy wet, but you're only drying it out to a certain point. So let's say after 24 hours, you're taking it off of the little wooden board that it might have been resting on, and you wrap it completely in plastic. So imagine it's in its own little greenhouse. That's how you're maintaining moisture level. We're really wrapping things to maintain it and get it at the level we want it to be. That's one of the things that you learn. Like, at what stage do you do what step of the process?
Interesting. I love the term throw a pot. Like, you just throw it there on the wheel. Or I think it's a funny term because when I was watching people work there, they were like literally kind of throwing it down there right on the center of their wheel. So I'm like, maybe that's where the term comes from.
It's actually a lot of ceramic terms come from, because ceramics is something that's been done for thousands of years. A lot of those words are actually from Old English or just, Old Latin. So throw came from throw in. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Essentially, it meant to spin, but in older variations of our language, the same way we say kiln, kiln essentially is a way of saying oven, but it's come to mean a specific kind of oven, right? So it's just the history of language. Yeah. One of my favorite examples is a technique called sgraffito, where you're carving through a color that's on top of the surface of clay. And it comes from scraffiad, which is to scratch. So the earliest graffiti that you can think of is like scratching on the Colosseum, like your favorite gladiator's name or whatever. So that graffiti and scraffiad, you can kind of see the evolution of this word and how it still applies to a ceramic process, but it's this like ancient root of it, which I don't know. I get really geeky excited about those things.
That's amazing.
I love it. This is something you don't know unless you're in that, right? And we're all learning here. And so that's really a fun background on some of that language. So, and how it relates to ceramics. I never knew. Thank you for sharing that.
So in addition to your courses, you also offer memberships for people who want to utilize community and Clayworks facilities. What are included in these memberships and who are they for?
So memberships are really for people that have ceramics experience so that you wouldn't need any hand-holding in the studio. You know your way around it and you're there to use it because you know how to. You end up getting 20 hours of studio time and you get shelf space to store your work. And if they choose to, we're going to be implementing a whole process where memberships can become showing members, meaning that they can sell their artwork in our shop and ultimately on our online shop and any of the out of studio events we do or artisan markets that we participate in.
That's an incredible opportunity for local artists that either don't have the ability to do an in-home studio or just don't have some of the equipment that you have available. They can actually just set up and work on all of their projects. And what a great opportunity to go, especially if someone finds a passion for the ceramic work through taking your courses and gets an education. They can actually just work straight out of Community Clayworks and kind of continue to grow that. That's a fabulous opportunity.
Exactly. No, I agree, Megan. And there's some really talented artists out there. And I know we've been to the studio and seen some of the works of those and really pretty. You can do so much with it. And everybody has a different vision and idea and design. So it makes it really unique in that way. So I think they're really great opportunities, both of those, and for the budding ceramic artisan who wants to really get feel for the craft. So for locals, Veronica, who just want to like try their hand at the ceramics or guests that it might be visiting Buellton from out of the area, what experiences do you offer someone who isn't able to take advantage of maybe your 6 weeks course or monthly program?
So every Saturday night from 7 to 9 o'clock, we have a BYOB sip and spin, where I guide people through making their first pot. And that is a fun one-time visit. I also offer private parties or just private lessons. Those are ways for people that aren't ready to commit or just want to take a taste of it to experience the studio.
Fun. And then on your private parties in that, Veronica, how many people can you accommodate?
So if it's on the potter's wheel, then I can accommodate 10 people. If it's a hand building party, we can have up to 16 maximum.
Very good. Do you do children's parties as well?
I do. We've had a few fun birthday parties in the studio. I was shocked that my daughter actually requested a ceramics birthday party. I thought she'd be sick of the studio, but I was very happy that she wanted more time there.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun. That's got to be like herding cats with kids around a pottery wheel, I would think. I don't know.
Oh, not on the wheel. Not on the wheel. She's turning six. We made little cupcake jars that they got to decorate.
Oh, cute. So they don't do the wheel. They just do little ceramic items or something and kind of mold the clay.
At 6 years old, they're too tiny to actually be able to do anything on the wheel. It's too big for them. They can play and poke it, but they can't actually make anything quite yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, they are making pinch pots or coils, using slabs, textures. There's a lot to do.
How fun. Awesome. Way better than Chuck E. Cheese, right?
And then they get to make something and take it home. Like what party? I mean, even as adults, that would be such a great group activity to just get a group of friends together and go and make something that you then get to take home and use.
Yeah, exactly. I like to think of it as the forever keepsake.
Yeah, you're making memories instead of just buying things. That's the type of experience that I always look for when I want to plan an adventure with my friends and with my family members, because it's about, you know, being together, and this gives you an opportunity to talk and engage, and you're doing something creative. It's a wonderful offering. So what is your favorite thing about working with ceramics and what you do with Community Clayworks?
My favorite thing, I don't want it to sound like it's sincerely, almost selfishly, it's the community, right? Like, I wanted to create a community that I wanted to be a part of. So it's the relationships that I get to make with people, and also the ones that I get to witness. They're sort of beautiful and unexpected friendships that blossom, and getting to be a part of that and getting to be a part of that, facilitating that, feels really special to me.
That's amazing.
I like that answer.
I do too.
They're these intergenerational friendships. They're people I never would have crossed paths with or seen that end up just meeting in the middle. Like, sometimes you have, you know, complete opposites that somehow really find a way to be fond of each other and become pals. And it's really special.
I think that's so true. And working like with office work, or, you know, we're all working in different venues, but I think sometimes when you pull yourself away, whether it's ceramics or coloring or something where you can use your mind and hands and, you know, body in a different way, it's a therapy. And like you say, building those relationships, and it can be therapy for people.
Absolutely.
Veronica, where can our followers find you on social media?
On Instagram, I am community_clayworks. I believe I'm Community Clayworks on Facebook as well. That's okay. About it.
Awesome.
Veronica, it was such a joy to have you with us today. Thank you again for sharing your passion with us and with our listeners, and for bringing such a wonderful community-oriented experience to Buellton and to the San Ynez Valley.
Yeah, we're so excited to see what else you're going to do with your creativity and with Community Clayworks. And so, Veronica, we always like to ask one question of our guests, and that is, what is your favorite thing about Buellton?
My favorite thing about Buellton would have to be the paths that are behind the studio that lead to the riverbed. There are arches that someone has made out of the tall plants. And you can walk through them, and they lead you to the ponds, and they just feel absolutely magical.
Oh, cool. I've never had that answer before.
No. I didn't even know those existed. I'm going to have to go check them out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. How fun. See, we learn something new all the time around here.
I love it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us and sharing your story. It's just great. And I love the idea of something like this in our community, where people of all ages can come together and enjoy it and try their hands at a new art form. So thank you for choosing Buellton.
My pleasure.
Thank you all for listening and for following us at Discover Buellton. So you can find us on social media and join our conversation on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we hope you subscribe and share Discover Buellton with your friends. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Kathy Vreeland and Megan DeChico, and produced by Relic.